1 Samuel chapter 16 at verse 14. And we'll all read it together, taking your time with me. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth him. Then our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. When therefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. David came to Saul, and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took at heart and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own inspired word. And for the preaching of thy word, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. 2 Lord's days ago, I drew your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18, where you will find a sevenfold description of David. He is the son of the Bethlehemite. He's cunning in playing. He's a mighty valiant man. He is a man of war. He is prudent in matters. He is a comely person. The Lord is with him. David, of course, is a beautiful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have seven superb views of Christ in these 39 words of this one verse of Holy Scripture. We looked 2 weeks ago at the first three descriptions. He is the son of the Bethlehemite. And of course, Bethlehem was the place where Christ was born. The emphasis here is on the manhood of Christ. Cunning in playing, the emphasis is on the music of Christ. A mighty, valiant man, the emphasis is on the marvel of Christ. And we dealt with those three matters a fortnight ago. If you're interested in following that up, all our services are, of course, recorded, and in the recording studio after this meeting, you can get the first part of this wonderful, superb views of Christ. We have four views of Christ I want to speak on today. We have a man of war. That is the might of Christ. Prudent in matters. That is the matters of Christ. A comely person. That is the majesty of Christ. The Lord is with him. That is the mystery of Christ. We noted that every seven in the Scriptures have a center, and the fourth is the center. Three on one side and three on the other, the fourth being the center of the list of seven. And we come to the center view of Christ here in type. The man of war, the might of Christ. The might of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the original Hebrew language, in which the Old Testament was written, there are four Hebrew words for man. There is the word Adam, which takes us back to the origin of man. It means dust of the ground. Then there is the word Ish, which distinguishes man from the woman. Then there's the word Enosh, which has regard to the physical mortality of man. And then there's the word Jeber, which has to do with man's strength. Now the word that's used here for a man of war is the word Ish. And in fact, every reference in the Old Testament Scripture that refers to God in the terms of man, it is always this word Ish, that is used. That itself is deeply significant. But here we have a man of war. Now there's a little rule that I have brought your attention to times without number. Some people are fed up with me repeating it, but it's a pity that they don't practice using this rule as they read the Scriptures, for it is a key to the opening of Scripture. And that is the law of the first mention. Now, if you turn with me back in the Old Testament, you will find that word. And you will find that word in the book of Exodus, chapter 15 and verse 3. Just turn to that. And it is the first time that God is likened to man, and it's the first mention of the word Ish in the Bible, and of course it is a wonderful description of the Christ of God. It says here that the Lord, verse 3 of Exodus 15, the Lord is a man of war. And in this superb description of David, he's described as a man of war. It's important to note this designation of Jehovah, the triune God of Israel. In a wonderful sense, the words a man of war, they portray our Lord in His might. They discover to us the might of Christ. It is here that Christ takes His place in the great battle for our redemption. If I take you to the final scene that is set in the book of the Revelation, in Revelation chapter 5, you will notice that the Apostle John is weeping. What is he weeping about? He's weeping about the fact that God the Father has an unsealed book in His right hand, and it cannot be opened. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth can open this book. The great apostles weep. But then as we come down the chapter, one of the elders, verse 5 of Revelation 5, says, "Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath revealed," to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And John beheld. He looked. What did he look for? He looked to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But he doesn't find a lion on the throne. What does he find on the throne? There stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The Lion of Judah in strength was not seen. But that mighty lion appeared as a bleeding lamb. This brings us to the heart of the battle. Where was the battle fought? Where did Christ become the man of war and the victorious Savior? It was at the cross. Where did he show that he had seven horns? The horns speak of power. Seven is the biblical number of perfection. Christ is the most powerful and perfect victor on any battlefield. What a battle had to be fought. What mighty foes had to be conquered. What awful windings there were going to be. But what a glorious war was going to be won. Who won that war? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was the man of war. And Revelation 19, verse 1 to 3, I read, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at his hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! The newly slain lamb standing triumphant over death. How could a slain lamb stand? Oh, here we have the miracle of the resurrection. That the newly slain lamb, stained with blood, stands. He's not lying dead. In his red vestment on the cross, the Savior became the man of war and the great victor, for he rent the veil in twain. And we sing with Moses and the whole of the Israel of God, Jehovah is his name. He is the man of war. In Exodus 15:17, we read these words, In the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. And in the greatness of Christ's excellency on the cross, he overthrew all the enemies of God and us, and he brought about an everlasting victory that can never be gainsaid. We sing thy praise, exalted Lamb who sitteth upon the throne. 10,000 blessings on thy name, who worthy art alone. Thy bruised broken body bore our sins upon the tree. And now thou livest forevermore. And now, praise God, we live in thee. Poor sinners sing the Lamb that died. What theme can sound so sweet? His dripping head, his streaming side, his piercing hands and feet. With all that scene of suffering love which faith presents to you, for now he lives and reigns above, and lives and reigns for you. Was ever grace, Lord, rich as thine? Cannot be with it named. What powerful beams of love divine thy tender heart inflamed. Ye angels, hymn his glorious praise, who loved and conquered thus. And we will likewise laud the Lamb, for he was slain for us. He's the man of war, the might of Christ. But look at the second designation, the one that follows that. He is prudent in matters. Here we come to the matters of Christ. This is the first use of this word in the whole Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. This word, prudence, is a most interesting word. It has to do with understanding and with knowledge. In Proverbs 16:21, we read, The wise in heart shall be called prudent. In Proverbs 18:15, The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. In Isaiah 5:21, Woe unto them that are prudent in their own sight. Isaiah 10:13, By the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. Isaiah 29:14, the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Hosea 14:9, who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. There are six other references to the word prudent. And with the one in my text, only seven times does this word occur. This repetition of seven, as we view the types of Christ in this text, are very striking indeed. For Christ is the perfect Christ. What were the matters that Christ was dealing with at the cross? There were matters that had to do with your sin, with your punishment, with your hell, with your judgment. But Christ is the wisdom of God. His wisdom is from the Lord. He understands all matters. Christ can explain and expound everything, for he has made everything, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. What blessed understanding the Lord has. Thy ways, O Lord, with wise design, are framed upon thy throne above, and every dark and bending line meets in the center of thy love. With feeble light and half obscure, poor mortals, thy arrangements view, not knowing that the least are sure and the mysterious just and true. Thy flock, thine own peculiar care, though now they seem to roam unaid, are led or driven only where thy best and safest may abide. They neither know nor trace the way, but trusting to thy piercing eye, none of their feet to ruin astray, nor shall the weakest feel or die. My favored soul shall meekly learn to lay her reason at thy throne. Too weak thy secrets to discern, I'll trust thee for my guide alone. Prudent in matters. All matters relevant to us, to our salvation, to our sanctification, to our protection, to our preservation and perseverance. All matters relevant to life and death. All matters relevant to time and eternity. Christ knows the answer to it all. He is the one that is prudent in matters. But let us turn and look at this sixth superb view of Christ, a comely person. Here we have the majesty of Christ. The Hebrew word translated here, countenance, is also translated form, visage, comely, and goodly. We read of Christ that in him was grace and truth. The numerical value of the number 5 in the Bible is grace. It's linked to blessing. The first day of creation was the first day that God blessed anything, because grace is a blessing from God. When David steps onto the stage of Holy Writ, he is described very especially. Turn back to that portion in 2 Samuel, and you will find what it says about David further up that passage of Scripture. When he first appeared. And we read concerning him, they brought him in from the field. Look with me at verse 12 of chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Do you notice the order of the description? It doesn't say, first of all, he was beautiful and goodly to look to, but it says he was ruddy. Where do we get our ruddiness from? We get it from our blood. It's the blood that puts ruddiness on the face and on the cheeks. And Jesus Christ is unique because his beauty is summarized and concentrated in his bloodstream. There is something supernatural, unparalleled in history, about the bloodstream of the Son of God. The life of the flesh is in what? In the blood. It took the chemists and the medical men a long time to find that out, but the Bible in the book of Leviticus had already set forth that great principle of the living of our body. The blood of the flesh is in the life. The beauty of Christ is in his precious, precious blood. And how beautiful he is. He is ruddy in countenance. In his body, he carried a precious fountain of blood. And at that cross, that blood was let out of the fountain. And every wound became a source through which the blood did flow. Take your Gospels. Read about the punishment that Christ endured. And study the Gospels, and you'll find again the number 7. 7 times Jesus' blood flowed. 7 times it flowed. It was perfect blood. It was sinless blood. It was supernatural blood. It's described by the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 20. It is the blood of God. For Christ is God incarnate in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of the blood. For the mystery of the blood is manifested in the fact that he was the God-man. The man Christ Jesus. Old Samuel Rutherford, the great covenanting preacher, said, I love Jesus. I love him in his eternity when he was in the Father's bosom. I love him when he became the creator of the world. I love him when he came a babe at Bethlehem. I love him in his miracles. I love him in his teaching. But I love him best in his red vest on Calvary. It is there
that there is a beauty unknown to only those that believe in him. How beautiful is this Savior as he sheds his blood for you and me. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. To there such love or sorrows meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. An old hymn writer back in the 18th century wrote these words, "The finest flower that ever bloomed opened on Calvary's tree, when Jesus' blood in rivers flowed for love of worthless me. Its deepest yearn, its richest smell, no mortal can declare, nor can the tongue of angels tell how bright its colors are. Earth could not hold so rich a flower, nor half its beauty show, nor could the world with Satan's power confine its sweets below. On Canaan's banks, supremely fair, this flower of wonder blooms, transplanted to its native air, and all the shores perfumes. But not to Canaan's shores confined, the seeds which from it blow take root within the human mind, and scent the church below. And soon on yonder banks above shall every blossom here appear a full ripe flower of love, like him transplanted there. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness, his glory doth expand, and glory deathless dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. What an affirmation. We read here, finally, the mystery of Christ. The Lord is with him. That's right. His name is Emmanuel, the Lord with us. The Lord is with him. But he, as the Lord with him, he is Emmanuel. He is with us. Christ not only reveals the person of God, but Christ brings to our heart the very presence of God. What an affirmation! The Lord is with him. I and my Father are one. Oh, the mystery! The superb mystery and beauty of Christ. No wonder Joseph Arms used to sing that hymn, "The Father's co-eternal Son, the friend of sinners, the undone, the portion all believers create. 'Tis Christ to suffer and God to see him." And that is the be-all of our redemption. It is Christ and Christ alone. May God anoint our eyes with eyesight that we might see him. May his beauty come to us in a new and wondrous manner. There is no one as beautiful as Jesus. And there's no Jesus so beautiful as the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb, who was found worthy to save our soul. If you have your faith in him, all is well in time, and all is well for eternity. If you haven't your faith in him, put your faith in him now, He will save you. Hallelujah! He will save you. Now, let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee for showing us Christ, the beautiful Savior, the ruddy Savior, whose cheeks were marked with the beauty of His precious, sinless blood. We thank Thee that that blood was shed for us, and through it we have been washed and made whiter than snow. May no one leave this meeting today without being washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hear this our prayer for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.